Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich, what's going on, everybody? Well, it was a given. Dow 25,000. I don't think anybody is surprised. I think that it was pretty much of a, as they say, a no-brainer. And, of course, I guess the big question is, now what? You know, it's always interesting as to, you know, what will trigger the next big move in the markets. And of course, it's been one hell of a week. Markets basically just go up and nobody cares. And in fact, on Thursday, I did a Fox interview after the bell. And I go, hey, you know what? They'll go up as long as I go up, which is kind of what I always say, right? I mean, I'm not telling you they're not going to go up farther. But I think that the interesting thing was the lack of real volume. All right. And the also thing I think is interesting, and if you looked at the action on Thursday, you saw a couple of interesting statistics going through. And one was the VIX was higher on the day, finally. Now, again, that's not a total shock in its own right, because when you get down to such a ridiculously low volatility, you know, it's not that hard, right? It's the same as these idiotic companies with their, you know, lowered expectations of earnings. You know, the bar is so low, it's hard to assume that they can't jump over the bar. You know, volatility gets so low, it's, you know, it's not like it's a big deal that it goes up a little bit. You know, the real thing that we're looking for is a consistency in the volatility, that just a rising volatility, not a spiking, but a rising volatility. But I think that the interesting thing here is that gold has been strange, to say the least. And it, of course, it's had a heck of a move. And you know, we're long-term bulls in gold. Just we've been short-term bearish since the rally. And I think that, you know, on Thursday we had like a major move out of nowhere. You know, if you look at the action of Wednesday, Thursday in gold, you had Wednesday, after the Fed announced, you had a breakdown, not a breakdown, but you know, about an $8 to $10 sell-off, down around to about 1308, 1309, and boom, came right back and closed in around 1318. Overnight, on Wednesday into Thursday, you had a test and a little bit of a takeout of the low, only to have a rally. And then on Thursday day, during the trading session, you had a sell-off. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was up $10. Now, what does it mean? And it did sell off late, and it's still hovering around that, you know, 1318 level. But what does it mean? It just, to me, it means there's something going around. There's something underlying the market. Now, you know, will I tell you that I know? I don't know what it is. There is something underlying the market that is expressing a little bit of concern. Now it could simply just be that the concern is here we are, and you know, people are trying to play for the top of the market. It could be there's something really underneath there. It's hard to say. But what I look at is I go, okay, you know, it means to me that there certainly could be potentially something happening. And it's a concern. I mean, again, we're at lofty levels under any circumstances. We're at numbers that are really crazy in the indexes and everywhere else. And of course, you know, our president is out tweeting out, you know, Dow 25K, and we're just going straight to the moon. And, You know, all of these little things have meaning from that standpoint. And I'm not a big fan of the market here. I mean, certainly, you know, again, I will always repeat that I am long the market. But I just don't see the whole move having the legs to really go a lot farther. Now, again, I could be wrong. You know, at some point, you're going to see a sell-off or a correction. And again, that's the problem, is trying to predict or figure when that correction is coming, which is why in your default investing, the best place is to be long, because the markets do go up over time. You know, 8% year over year is the numbers. So, you know, it looks funny, and it looks like there's a big move potentially coming. Now, again, that big move could be higher, but it's hard to imagine after what we've seen, especially what we've seen since President Trump has been in office. Okay, now if you look at it, when President Trump was in, I believe the Dow was around 18,000, and now it's 25,000. So the rally has been almost, you know, almost 35%, I guess, since President Trump has taken office. Now, what does it mean? It just means that they're going higher, you know, and it means that all the guys out there that said that the markets are going down, the Paul Krugmans of the world, the David Stockmans of the world, and everybody else who kept saying, oh, the world is over, no way, you know, that is one thing that does help prove them wrong, is the simple fact that you pile in and, you know, there's not enough to make it go down. You know, that's always something of great interest, and it's always something to watch for as people pile in. Now, we have not necessarily seen the blow off to the upside yet, so we could continue. Again, we could continue going higher. There is no way that I'm telling you that we are no longer going higher. That would be irresponsible of me to say that, number one. Number two, I think that, again, if you just remember that, you know, you can't really fight the overall tape of the market. You cannot tell the market what to do. You have to continue to try to trade the market based on the data that you can see from what the footprint leaves. Now, the footprints have certainly not given us any reason to believe that we're going tremendously lower. The overall view is that we continue to see a market that will, you know, whine higher until it doesn't. You know, I don't think there's any reason to believe that it's not going to go higher for now. I'm certainly not bullish, but I'm not going to tell you that this is it. Make no mistake about it. No, this is, I mean, again, you can't really figure it. You just have to kind of trade it and let the markets work in their own special way. So I think that, you know, again, let's not get too over positioned here, playing for the end of the world, because it ain't coming anytime soon. And the market is not going to announce its intentions. So you must keep yourself in the game, ready to go, and not try to outguess or outsmart the markets, because otherwise you end up in the toilet. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's Friday. It's the weekend coming up, and of course, we want to remind you about our high school investing program, highschoolinvesting.com. Check it out. If you'd like to help us out as we try to continue to build this, go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and you can help donate, and we'll give you access to the high school investing site. But that's how we can continue to grow. And don't forget to download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. Give you all your entertainment pleasure. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back after the break. Back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, Since we are in the beginning of the year and we want to make sure everybody's prepared, we are working on our trading plan. So let's go back and continue to check out what we're supposed to be doing to be prepared to be successful. Here we go.
$1,000 round trip is ridiculous. Okay, if you're paying more than $5, you're getting hosed. Just a quick note, you know I love you, so it's not I'm not criticizing you. I'm just telling you. Okay, $10 is a rip. A good plan equals no fear, because fear is the other guy's problem. You know, I love that. I just watched that movie again for about the 4,000th time. Trading places. You can call me. I'll give you a place you can go. I think you're in London, so there almost anybody will take you. As long as you're not in Canada, almost anybody will take you. Fundamental analysis versus technical analysis. Okay, what's the difference? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. As you know, I like to always associate some stories and what the difference is, but this date that I have marked here, Apple, this was in 2012. Okay, Apple was at an all-time high, right? So it was over 700. That was before it split 7-for-1. And that's when everybody had a separate ticker on the TV, Apple 700. You know, it was going to the first $700 site was going crazy, right? So the earnings were in September. I was on Bloomberg, right? I used to do Bloomberg for all these earnings trades. And I went on Bloomberg after the earnings came out, and they reported the biggest quarter in the history of Apple. Okay, the biggest quarter in the history of the world, of any company ever. Okay, and everybody, oh, it's great, they're going the stocks. And they came to me, and I said, what do you think? I said, I'm a seller. This stock is overextended. It needs to sell off, and I think it's going to get cut probably by 30 or 40%. And, of course, it did. Now, again, I'm not saying that I'm always right like that, but that's, again, understanding where the market is and where the street is. The street already knew that. The street had already priced it in. They knew what it was going. They were already buying. So now the logical choice was to sell it. So from a fundamental standpoint, you would never sell it there because, my God, the fundamentals were great. But from a technical standpoint, it was actually blowing off to the upside, which is a perfect spot to sell it. So when you're using fundamental analysis, and I'm a great advocate and a great believer on using both, okay? For my investments, for my retirement, or maybe for my kids instead, but for whatever, whatever's going in the long-term account, I don't buy on fundamentals, but I pick the stocks I want to buy that have good fundamentals, but I don't buy them until they show to me technically that they're ready to go in the direction that I want to go, okay? That's something that it's a hard mix to make, but it's something that you need to understand, because if you learn that process, you'll never overpay for a stock. You'll never chase a stock up to buy it just because you got to get it in your account, all right? Which is one of the things I tell everybody. If you must buy today something and it's not technically set or savvy yet, buy a smaller portion. Be prepared to buy more if it goes down. Now, you know, we don't press trades as our losers, but if you're willing to invest $5,000 into one stock and you buy $1,500 the first day and it goes down, you can be prepared to buy more. Whereas if you buy all $5,000, you're just stuck. And here's the next problem when you start mixing accounts and you start mixing trades together is sometimes you take something that you had intended as an investment and you turn it into a trade because it performs so well right away, which is not what was not your intention, was not in your plan, but you got greedy for the moment and you took the money. And then, of course, there's the worst is when you find when you're making a trade and that trade goes against you and you go, well, I'll put it in my investment account. I can hold it. That's the worst decision you can make. And those decisions will be made by technical analysis, okay? But if you bought a stock for an investment and it's performing, why sell it? You know, I bought Facebook, you know, when it came out at 40, I wouldn't buy a share. I knew it was overvalued. I knew it was going down. And we actually bought it on my Monday night call. We bought it, started buying it at about 20 or 22 on the way back up when it went under. Of course, I was out of it a long time ago because I made the classic mistake of turning an investment something that I thought was realistic into a trade. I took the money and I took the money at 30. Instead of 180. I took the money in NVIDIA at 18. We bought it at 14 instead of 220, what it's trading now, right? Again, that's the point. You got to focus in and set your objectives, how you do it. Long-term account fundamentals will give you something that you want to be in. Robin Hood is, I'll talk about that later. Okay. Fundamental is how you find your long-term investments. Technical is how you trade them all. Okay. Remember that. That should be in your, all of your plans. You're going to trade, you're going to execute based on technical analysis. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Okay. Again, if you're prepared, you're in good shape. Now, there's where you decide what type of trader you're going to be. Now, again, I fit all of these right here. This is me. Every one of these is me. Okay. But not all of you are going to be like that. You know, not all of you are going to be full-time traders. So we have, and I teach, okay, I teach long-term trading investing. I teach swing trading. I teach short-term part-time day trading. I don't believe that anybody, unless you just have nothing else to do, should be a regular day trader as your only career in these days. I don't think there's enough business. Now, again, there is some in the new, some of the new Bitcoin stocks are pretty wild, so it creates some action. But as a general rule, most are not suited, because true day trading means that you're sitting in front of that machine from like 7:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. Okay. And I'm telling you straight up, I mean, this is not to discourage you, but when I worked, when the Badger and I, my partner, when we were working together, one of us was always watching the other position. One of us always had to be in front of the machine, and it was almost 24 hours a day. And I'm telling you that, again, because the movie you're looking for is going to miss. So you got to decide on who you're going to be. So the first thing you got to decide is what your work schedule is going to be, which is why if you want to be a part-time day trader, which you can be if you follow my one method, then you can be a part-time day trader. But again, I'm not advocating or telling you to do that, but you need to discuss with yourself who you're going to be. Are you just building for your retirement account? Are you looking to swing trade some things? And, you know, again, are you looking to scalp sometimes? And again, you can scalp in the futures market. It's something you can do. But it comes back down to who you want to be and who you're planning to be. Part-time day trading is the best. I will say that. That is, listen, my method, not to toot my own horn, but that method is by far the best, because it's easy, it's fast, and if you're disciplined enough not to take a trade because the one didn't show up, then you're going to be in unbelievable shape. Okay? And in fact, I'm going to show you at the end of this today, but we just automated it as well. Okay. Now, risk management is the most important aspect of any trading plan, because if you've got no money, then there's nothing to plan for. Okay. But what is your risk, you know, per trade? You know, what kind of account are you going to open up? So that's where this is where separate accounts come in as well, because we hate commingling funds, you know, because your investment accounts should always be doing relatively well. Okay. But maybe your short-term trading isn't doing well, and maybe you miss it because, you know, this market that's going up every day, if you had any kind of account, it's probably going up pretty good. And maybe you missed out on some of the mistakes you were making because they were forgiven by the amount of money you were making with your investing portfolio. So that's a very important tool to understand. So what I do have, okay, my major investing account, I haven't looked at it in years. I don't even look at it, okay? I know about what's in there. I know how to hedge it, but I don't look at it. Okay. My wife takes it. That's it. I don't even look. So, but my other stuff, obviously, I look a little more active. My mom's, I watch a little bit more actively, but I don't look at them every day because it's not important. What I look at every day is my futures trading, my option trading, and anything I'm trading short term. But I do keep my futures account and my option account separate. They're two separate accounts because I don't want to get confused. And this goes back to the beginning, where if you're writing everything down, then you're going to see it ahead of time. But you can't commingle these funds, because you got to find out if you got a problem.
And understanding when and where you might have a problem is the time to be able to adjust it versus when it becomes too late. Very important. This is the Bubba Show. I'm Todd Bubba Horowitz on Friday, January 5th, 2018. We're going to step out here for a break, but before we do, remember, libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every day as we try to get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. So let's go. Hit those buttons. Start loading them down. And, of course, don't forget the Sporting Edge as well. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a moment, and we'll be back with more of the trading plan on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as we were discussing and looking at trading plans, let's continue.
Find out if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing all the way across. Becomes very important. Not today, but if you're going to be successful and you're going to want to make it doing this, then having them separated so you can find out, geez, I lost another $1,000 in my futures account. What the hell's going on? What did I do wrong? Because this is where the part of what we call the post-mortem of all trades, right? And I'm not telling you to sit down, you know, if you're trading, some days I'll trade 3,000 contracts, right? But on any day, you should randomly do a post-mortem on a number of trades. Why? Did you do them right? Did you make money because you got lucky? Or did you make money because you did it right? Or did you lose money? You made the right trade, but you still lost money. That's going to happen. But that's where you have to understand. It shouldn't be you're scratching your head at the end of the day saying, how did I lose money? You should know what happened. Because there's going to be... you're going to have the greatest setup and the greatest trade in the world, and it's going to lose money. And you're going to have, in once in a while, you're going to make a mistake, and you're going to fire into a market, and you're going to just gamble, and it's going to hit, and you go, oh, I'm a genius. Right? At the end of the day, understand what you did so you know how to correct it when things are going bad. Because you can always learn a lot by learning and observing, right? That's our Yogi Berra. You can observe a lot by watching. Decide what types of trading you're interested in. We talked about this a little bit before, but again, there's a ton of different methods to trade. In fact, I mean, in the option model alone, there's probably, if you took all the combinations of different types of trades, there's probably 1 million different trades you could make. Okay. You have to decide what you're trying to do. And you don't want to switch back and forth. Okay. This goes back to, again, being prepared. Have your plan ready to go from the beginning so that you know who you are. And don't change. Now, you want to add something later, then rewrite your plan. Add in what you want to do. But again, this goes back to committing to running a business and nothing else. Okay? This is what you're going to do to develop yourself to be a better money manager, trader, investor, all of it. But if you don't do these things, then you're going to be in the same old mess you've always been in. And you're going to always wonder what ran over your account at the worst possible time. Okay, so figure out who you want to be. But what you don't want to be for sure is you don't want to be what they call a shooter. Right? And I'm a shooter once in a while, right? But I shoot with capital that I know it's basically designed for that. It's to get my aggression out when I want to do something, right? But I don't shoot. I don't ever gamble with the important money. And that's where you have to decide where you're going to be with all this stuff. Again, this has to be laid out and planned. You know, how many people have you known who've won the lottery that ended up broke because they didn't understand how to plan for the rest of their life? That's what you're working on. You're working on planning for the rest of your life. Identify the markets you want to trade. Okay, now again, you don't have to trade them all. I happen to trade them all because to me it doesn't matter. Every market in my eyes is the same. I have the same, I read the charts the same way, as you know. I believe in universal price, so I don't really care. But understand what markets are best for you. Where do you feel the most comfortable? You know, do you want to trade like FX? I think FX is rigged. I would never trade FX. I'll trade currencies, but I'll only trade those through the CME. I think the Forex markets are crooked. That's my opinion. Now, again, it doesn't make me right, but that is my opinion. I will never, well, I don't say never, I will not trade Bitcoin yet. I bought some Bitcoin, but I didn't, I'm not trading it yet. The contracts are not liquid enough and the margins are ridiculous. Okay. But part of looking for what you want to trade, and especially in our environment, if you buy into what I tell you that all markets are the same, then you want to trade the products that are the most inexpensive for you to trade. Okay. Not the ones that are most expensive. You'll get no benefit. So look for the ones that are that fit more into your budget. Okay. That's why futures are so beautiful, because they don't take a $25,000 account to be an active trader. Okay. They don't take FINRA day trader. You know, some guy wrote email me the other day. He got shut off by Fidelity. And he had more bigger than $25,000 account, but they shut him down. They gave him a 90-day suspension for day trading. I go, they can't do that. So, I mean, that's a different story. But my point is that, you know, you're restricted when you're in the equity market by FINRA rules. Whereas in the futures market, you're not restricted. Now, they're both good. It just depends on what's better for you. And that's where you have to decide the markets. Fidelity did that to me, $250 account. There you go. Look, again, I know that's against the rules. I mean, me, I'd be on the phone threatening them with FINRA. That would be my thing. I did go against Schwab once with FINRA, and I won. Okay, because I do understand the rules. I've done this for 38 years. I know what they're trying to do. These guys don't want any risk. They want you just to keep your money in there. They prefer you not trade. Okay, but figure out, and then the time frames. Now, those of you who've been with me the longest know that I trade multiple time frames, because it also depends on what I'm trading. All right. It's not whether or not I'm going to make money today on this particular product. It's what am I looking for? And this is back into your original planning. So if I'm trading, you know, I use multiple time frames in every trade. So if I was trading actively right now, okay. So if I'm trading actively right now, so I'm looking at and actively when I'm like when I want to trade, I'm going to trade 4 minutes. Okay. But I don't use the 4 minute to decide. What I use to confirm it is I go from a four and then I go to a one. All right. That's how I trade it. Okay. I go from a four to one because the one is the one that gives me the whatchamacallit. The one is what gives me the trigger to tell me that it's okay to trade. Okay. So this is where I get my indicator. So if I was getting ready to sell this product, okay, let's go to one that was actually busier. Okay. So if I was getting ready to sell this, then I wasn't selling it here as it was still going up. Once the 1 minute turned lower, that's when I would have sold it. All right. Doesn't guarantee it, but that's what you're looking for. You're looking for confirmation because at the end of the day, all charts are the same anyways. Okay. So again, but consider what you're looking for. You know, if it's an investment, then you certainly wouldn't be looking at a 4 minute chart. You might look at the 4 minute chart as the part when you want to finally enter it, but then you put it away and it's gone. Wells Fargo did it to me too. I called them. They tagged me as a hostile client. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I do have future classes I teach. Yes. Creating a plan. So you set your goals. Now, that's the most important thing first is your goals. Now, your goals should be realistic. Again, if you're going to tell me, well, I got a $5,000 account, I want to make $1 million next year, I tell you, go, you're nuts. Okay. Okay. Now, again, if it was in Bitcoin, maybe you could have done it. But my point is that the goals should be realistic. Why is that? Well, the first reason is because if you make goals that are unattainable, you get depressed that you can't reach your goals. So they should be somewhat stair-stepped up. Now, you can have short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals. But your short-term goal should always be something that is attainable. Not too easy, but attainable to get there. Okay? Because, again, it has to fit with who you are and what you're trying to do. And when you attain some of your goals, you should take a little something and go buy yourself a gift. A little bit of a reward. All right? But you should be shaping yourself to make yourself like a computer. But a human computer that understands, not something that's just totally machines. And this ties into the diary. This ties into the trading along the diary. Everything together it all kind of comes into one little piece when you're all said and done. If you build like a checklist. So you first have to look at yourself and who you are. So why do you want to be a trader? Okay. Why do you want to be in this fricacta business? All right. You know, what's your point? And know why you want to be in it. And, you know, what is your style going to be? What are your strengths and weaknesses? We all know what our strengths and weaknesses are. Nobody knows. No, I don't think anybody in this call doesn't know what they're weak at. Okay. You know, what about the mental part of the game? All right. That's one of the hardest parts in this business. You know, listen, whenever it comes to money, it always seems to be a struggle for many, does it not? I don't mean the amount you have, but the losing and winning. I think emotionally, many people have a big problem and it starts to weigh on them, whether it be a lot or a little. It depends on who you are. Okay. What are my strengths and weaknesses in terms of personal discipline? You know, that's where a lot of failures come from. Do I tend to get compulsive? Okay. I do. You know, look, I can give you all kinds of horror stories. All right. So I'm giving you the stuff from the sweat of my own back. Am I in the right frame of mind? You know, some days you're just not in the right frame of mind to trade. Okay. How much time do you have to devote to trading? How many distractions? You know, if you're trading from home and you've got little kids, then you're probably not doing yourself any services. Okay. You know, one thing I can tell you that when I trade from home, when my kids were little, we had a nanny so that I didn't have to be bothered because I didn't want to be taken away. And I think this is something that's another discipline you have to learn, is to be able to, when you're trading, investing, you got to focus on your money, and you want to do something else, then turn the machine off.
And those are things that you must put yourself, that's how you create a successful environment and a successful opportunity to become the trader and investor that you want to be. When you don't do that, you create a much bigger problem, which is one of the things we work on at our program, thehighschoolinvesting.com, is teaching people how to do the best for themselves. And that's, again, learning the basis of finances and financial literacy and working it out. And if you want to help me out with that, you go to Patreon, Patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, those who do will get access to the High School Investing site, which has the education of what we teach. So you can check that out. In the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm is, where, of course, where the show is. And you can download it every day along with the Sporting Edge and continue to help us reach our goals. In the meantime, we'll be back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich, The Bubba Show. We'll be right back. Show Todd Bubba Horwich, and here we go with the trading plans and goals and setting and doing all we got to do, the right thing. Here we go.
Okay. How do you deal with the distractions? How much time do you expect to devote to developing my trading system? Okay. You know, what system or how are you going to develop what you want to do? You can't do it all. You have to figure out what you want to do. Okay. Now, you can do it all in different products under different plans, but you can't, there is not a one size that fits all for everybody, other than a long-term investing, which is, it's just a hedge portfolio against a long-term investment. How would you rate your knowledge? Defining your objectives. Okay, again, they should be written out so you know what you're trying to accomplish. It comes back to the very simple things that we talk about every day. What are your annual trading goals? What are your monthly? What are your weekly? What is your daily? Now, daily is much, much tougher, okay, because, you know, people say, well, I want to make $500 a day. I go, well, it's hard to do that because you can't. Who can guarantee the market's going to cooperate? You can average that over time. So, you know, daily is a much tougher model. Okay. How much money do I have? How much of the money can I afford to lose? How much money do I need to make each year? Do I need to live off that money? Again, these are all things that are important because I can assure you, I used to tell people when the markets are still fairly active, that if you want to become a professional trader, depending on your family's life and your expenses, you need a minimum of 1 year's worth of salary that you can draw off of, not out of your trading account. Okay? Not out of your trading account. Because if you do, then you're just adding yourself in a bad position because you're going to, again, emotionally get beat down with not enough money. Okay? Which markets will I trade? Which instruments will I trade? What kind of markets do I want to trade? Is it appropriate to specialize? Which time frames will I trade? Again, same things. Again, these are a lot of repetition because the markets are repetition. Which financial vehicle will I use to trade? Which broker and trading platform will I use? And again, I use multiple. Now, I prefer, you know, for my stock and option trading, I think Thinkorswim is the easiest if I'm trading myself because it's the most dynamic platform from a standpoint. I don't have to do too much work, right? I don't have to get into the buy to open, the buy to close or whatever it is. I just do it. It does it by itself. So that's a little bit easier. So if I'm going to be more active, that's an important platform. So on the other platforms, I don't have any short-term types of trading. Right? The other side is there a ticket charge? All right. So if it's a ticket charge, I typically not going to put something that I want to try to scalp out of because I don't want to keep paying that ticket charge. You know, like at Schwab, I pay, I think, 4.25 and 20 cents. All right. I don't want to keep paying the 4.25. At Thinkorswim, I pay 50 cents. Okay. So I don't want to keep paying that ticket charge. It affects your decision, believe it or not. Okay. Which software and data feeds. Now, again, I'm not a big advocate of going out and spending a lot of money for data feeds. I think that's a bunch of a hokey. Okay. But some do. But just know what you are. And if you're going to go out and pay for it, then make sure you understand what it's going to cost you to pay for it, right? Make that part of it. You know, we used eSignal once many, many years ago because we needed the feed, but I wouldn't go out and pay for anything. There's enough good stuff out there for free. Pre-market checklist, okay? What's my daily pre-market routine? Have I analyzed my last trades? Do I have any open positions? What are the general market conditions? What will I do each day, hour by hour? Right? Now, again, some of you guys I know trade like from 7:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock Central Time. This is great. If you know that, then put it down, a part of it. Risk management. Okay. So what is my attitude towards risk? Again, I've seen everybody. I know what everybody thinks. Some can deal with it better than others. But that may be something you have to work with. Because again, this part is, it makes it hard because you can't sometimes get into a trade because you're too afraid to lose money. What is my overall market risk? And what is my strategy risk? Again, understand these things and make them part of it, part of your plan. Okay, now you look at a trade. What is the probability? Now, we always think if we make a trade, it should be a high probability of success. It doesn't mean it's going to be, but it should be. But if you're going to make the trade, then at least understand why you're making a trade and what the risk is going to be. Okay, and if you don't think it's a very good trade, then maybe you shouldn't make it. Risk-reward ratio. Goals. Drawdowns. Now, you're going to have a drawdown, and they can last longer than anybody thinks, all right? I'm just telling you. You know, again, anybody who promises you less is a liar, all right? They can last for periods of time. You know, market conditions are really good, okay, are really tough sometimes, and it's hard, okay? Where will I put my stops? How will I handle them? When will I stop trading? What time are you going to trade till? And these should be all predefined and not really negotiable unless you rewrite your plan. Okay. If you have a large drawdown, what will you do? We have a nervous breakdown. How will I manage the money? Which money management system you can use? How will you lock profits in? Now, I shared with you how I do mine. Once it hits my objective, I just start moving my stop up. Sometimes I'll use a trailing stop. I don't use them often. But I will use them, you know, again, there's gets to a point where you want to pull the trigger, you want to get out, but you don't want the market to get away from you. So you put a trailing stop in and you let the market take you out. Okay. How will you determine your size? Well, your position size should be determined by the size of your account. What will I do in terms of money management? Again, you have to understand, you know, if you got a small account, you can't trade big. Exit strategies. Well, I exit before my stop is hit. Okay. I never do. Okay. But that doesn't make me right. That's just what I do. All right. I'm willing to, again, I put the stop in for a reason. So I'm willing to let it trade that way. Losing trade risk signals will be scaling me out of the trade. When in trade, your signals will see me exit completely. Again, these are things that are more general. I don't use the exiting part of it because, again, I want it. I'm going to give it every opportunity. If you've heard me on a, when I'm reading the charts on a Monday, I go, I'm not setting, I know my target is, but I'm not getting out there. I'll move my stop up there because my objective is it's going to break out and keep going. But at least I know that I'm protected. Setups, how do you find this setup? Okay, what are you looking for? All right, are you looking for a specific pattern? Are you trading the trend? Are you scalping? Okay, that's what you're looking for. So if you're trading, you know, if you're trading in a trend, okay, then you're looking for a most likely, if you're trading a market that's trending. I hate this new development of theirs, by the way, just in case anybody cares. So this is a trending market right here, right? So now we flattened out here. So basically, even though this was a key reversal pattern on Friday, okay, this would be a spot that if you were looking to buy in this market, you'd probably be looking right about here to see how it would act Monday or Tuesday. Okay, that would be something I'd be looking at if I was looking to buy because I want to buy support when I'm buying. If I want to buy an uptrend, a double bottom in an uptrending market. That's typically what you're looking for, or down. You want to sell resistance in a market that is trending lower. But again, understand what you're trying to accomplish. After the market closes, ever recorded today's trades? Did I execute today's trades according to my plan? Have I completed my trading journal? Again, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to be successful. Nobody gets there by luck.
And that's something that we try to always teach is this is not a business of luck. This is a business of skill. And if you want to have it going your way, then you need to do the things that help you enhance the skills that you're developing. Don't think that somebody's just going to hand you a package of cash because there ain't no free lunch. But the Bubba Show is free. And being here with you guys is always a great time with me. And, of course, love teaching the markets. And want to remind you to go to libertytalk.fm to download the Bubba Show every single day and the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And also, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update. You know, if you go to bubbatrading.com, you can fill out the form and you get it for free. I send it to you every day after the market close. And once we do a 30-minute version of what's going on. So make sure you go check that out. In the meantime, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the football games. We're taking Atlanta as our best bet over the Rams. And that's it for today, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here on Monday. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.